Live from Free Comic Book Day on Tatooine, it's the Geek Show Podcast.
Oh, the voice of Geek Show Past joining us on today's program. Hit the intro. Let's go. All right.
Oh, God. Being in the producer seat is so hard.
Yes. Yes, it is. 5 days a week. Rebecca, you'll get through this, though.
It's okay. It's okay.
Rebecca Frost, everybody. Give her a hand because you love her.
I'm Tony today.
Yes. She's Tony today. I got to write that down. Robert Neal is here. Even though it's Free Comic Book Day, he managed to make it.
May the 4th be with you.
Are you? Yes. Yeah. You for real are missing Free Comic Book Day. Are you okay?
Or did you
just
go earlier?
How much I love you. That's just how much I love you.
Yeah. Oh. You know the guys are adults.
No, I'm going after. I was going to say. After we're done, I'll run and be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, the guys at Dr. Volts will take care of you. Don't worry about it. And joining us, OG Geek Show. We're talking from the first, from the jump. He's the world's dirtiest Mormon, Derek Hunter, ladies and gentlemen.
World's dirtiest ex-Mormon.
Is that right?
Motherfucker.
Okay, well, no, don't swear anymore yet. We're still like so live early on. Just give it 5 minutes.
You don't know how the algorithm work. He lives in the forest, so.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. It's okay.
I'm out. I'm done. Completely gone.
I have my letter framed up in the kitchen.
I know. I've got the date marked on the calendar when it was official, and it's a celebration I make every year.
All right. Terrific. Derek Hunter, everybody.
And don't forget our host, producing 5 days a week, Carrie Jackson.
Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, x96.com. 6 to 10 a.m. Now, Derek, what have you been doing?
Oh, my goodness. It's been
all these years. You've been working in the industry.
I moved out to L.A. 12 years ago, 12 years ago now, and been working in animation. Right now, I'm working on Batman.
Whoa.
It's my first superhero show that I've been on. Because usually they reserve that for the more serious artists, and I'm just a lowly goofball cartoonist. But I don't know if you caught that Merry Little Batman movie that was on Amazon last year.
Yes, it was delightful.
So I'm working with that crew making a series that is based in that world.
Wonderful. Are you allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, this is breaking news here.
I think it's been announced.
Oops.
I heard it here first. Geek Show finally has breaking news.
So working on that, I'm actually currently, it's on my computer right here. I'm working on episode 4. And I probably shouldn't talk about who's in it or anything, but Rogues Gallery is in full effect.
Oh, great
designs, great art, great voice cast.
And where is this going to go? Is this going to be on...
I think it's going to be on Amazon, but it's, you know, I'm working at Warner Brothers, but I think it's going to be, I think Amazon is funding it and that's where it's going to land.
You know, in the old days, I would say it would be on Max, but you never know these days. So,
yeah, we're, you know, wherever it lands, as long as people watch it and we get a season 2 and I can keep working, I am happy. So I've been doing that. I've just been working in animation steadily. Currently I'm, working on Walking Dead comic book wise, so writing, drawing, lettering, coloring, Walking Dead, you know, dark humor, short form stories for Robert Kirkman, and hopefully those all get collected into a nice 250-page graphic novel when all things are said and done.
And you did work on DuckTales, you did work on all kinds of shows.
Adventure Time, DuckTales, Kid Cosmic, which was a Craig McCracken of... you know, Powerpuff Girls and Wander Over Yonder fame. Worked on that and did a series through Image Comics that came out at the beginning of the pandemic. So it didn't quite perform as well as I would have hoped because no book tours, no comic conventions, but Pretty Violent, which did pretty well for me and got me into the Walking Dead gig.
I remember seeing that at our comic book store. I was very proud of you. Picked it up.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
What's it like to just like have such a cool job?
It's just like having a job that's not cool, except to brag about it. I mean, Carrie, gosh, you've been doing this for years. You don't want to go to work in the morning.
No.
Love what we do.
We do, but I would
rather do anything else.
I was told if I loved what I did, I would never work a day in my life.
That's a terrible lie, my dear.
Oh, no.
The hobby that
my illusions are ruined.
The hobby you love becomes the job you'd rather not do because you don't get to do your hobby anymore because it's your job.
Exactly.
But no complaints.
Okay, so Derek, going back to the hobby job thing.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen you in, it's been probably at least 12 years. It's been before you moved. It's probably been closer to 15. So you did an appearance at Dr. Volts for many rains back with Jeff Parker, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember that signing.
Oh, you did look both at that. Of these for me.
Whoa.
And those drawings, too.
Look at that. It.
Oh, those are old. I need to update those drawings for you, buddy.
Those are great. Like,
Derek's going to be on?
Oh, really?
That's fabulous. Awesome. That is fabulous.
Hopefully you got a free copy of Derek Hunter is an F word.
I did. Unfortunately, it's buried in my boxes. I was like, I can't find it in time. But I have these, so I'm happy.
I've got mine over there. It's next to the issues of Pirate Club as well. You know.
You're too good to me.
Derek Hunter merch. Oh.
Well, looks like I need to send a care package.
Absolutely.
For the crew.
All right. We look forward to it. Okay, let's get to news. There's a new trailer just released this morning, I believe, for The Acolyte.
Happy May the 4th, everybody, by the
exactly,
way.
Exactly, yes. If you have time to watch it, you know, hit pause on this and go and watch it. This is I don't say this often about Star Wars projects these days, but I'm looking forward to this.
So not to brag, but I went to the Phantom Menace yesterday morning, sat in the D-Box seats, had a blast. But after they had a preview of the Acolyte, they showed like a short clip after the credits, and Carrie Ann Moss kicks so much ass. I wasn't super excited for the Acolyte. I mean, I kind of was. But the fight choreography that they showcased in that clip looked so cool, and I can't wait to see more.
It's funny because the creators of the show said we wanted Carrie Ann Moss from the beginning because we wanted to see her as a Jedi kicking ass, you know.
And she does, and because don't forget this is also like High Republic times, right?
Yes.
Like this is like 100 years before Phantom Menace, and so this is when the Jedi are not like fighting for their lives. This is when the Jedi are normal, like they're commonplace.
Well, as Kenobi puts it in the first movie, the Guardians of Peace and Justice, you know.
So. Yeah, and she, I don't know how to describe it without like you guys just seeing it. She just exudes this like badass peacekeeper energy. Mm-hmm. It's so
Trinity,
cool.
Got it.
Yeah Trinity. Going...
They couldn't have gone with a better casting for someone who just they want you to see their face and be like, I get it.
Yes,
I know what they're going for.
Absolutely perfect. Let's see. Newest look teases its Jedi as woefully underprepared for this ex-Padawan there making her way through the galaxy as an assassin. Her actions eventually draw the attention of her former master, who's already investigating a number of crimes, teasing the incoming return of the Sith, who they defeated long ago. Jedi at the height of their power, but they put away a number of enemies who'd be more than happy to see someone knock them down a peg. So that's June 4th.
So soon. 4th. In a month, literally.
Yeah.
I'm like Carrie. It's this might be one that I'm actually excited about. It's been a while since I've really been on board, but just looking at just this still alone, I'm like, all right.
This show, if you liked Andor, going to preach Andor for the rest of my life. So The Acolyte has hired an intimacy coordinator. And that means that there's going to be sex in Star Wars.
Well.
Well, and I think I've talked about this previously too, but the show hired writers for the show that had no investment in Star Wars at all.
Yeah.
Because they wanted the story to cater to not only Star Wars fans, but people who have no idea like what Star Wars is. Mm-hmm. And so like, you're definitely going to get an element of the script of people who are like, yes, we see you people who don't care about the Star Wars part of this. So like, mm-hmm. and it's going to make sense for everybody.
I mean, I loved Andor. I thought that was terrific. And if they can do that sort of a thing with the Star Wars again, I'm all in. I'm all for it. It looks terrific. All right, next trailer that we got this morning. And maybe we'll watch these in the after party.
Oh, maybe. I'm Tony, but I'm not like super Tony. Super so Tony. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. But The Boys season 4 trailer dropped. I think it was late last night. We got to look at that. And it's going to be a dark season from what I can tell. Carl Urban as Butcher says at the beginning, I look back on my life and all I see are the messes I've made. I ain't got time to fix it. I can do one thing right with the time I got left, but I can't do it alone. I can't do it without you, he says to his team. This fourth season, the world's on the brink, and we're going to see the rise even further of Homelander, who is just pretty much in the trailer said, we're not heroes anymore. We're gonna take over.
Oh, it's the Justice Lords. Yay.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. And we're going to get Gen V people in The Boys season 4 as well. June 13th on Prime Video. They're going to drop three episodes on June 13th. And then they'll follow it with one episode each week until the finale, July 18th.
So not a whole lot. Pretty short season.
Short season, but it's effective. That's what mm-hmm. I like about this show is this is one of the superhero shows my wife will watch. She, you know, it's very few and far between, but she likes The Boys. Let's see. Another trailer we got of the most earnest Superman ever, in my opinion.
Oh, my goodness.
Sailor Superman.
Yes, yay. Exactly. My Adventures of Superman Season 2. We got another a trailer for it. It returns on May 25th. And this show is... We're getting Lex Luthor in Season 2. Lex with a full head of hair. I don't know how you feel about that, Robert, but
I'm good.
Do you know
who's
voicing
he started off that way. I'm okay.
But 20 something versions of all these characters. Jack Quaid as Superman. It's like I said, it's so sincere.
And I have seen the whole outline for Season 2.
Uh-huh. What?
So I know all the interactions and all the foils and all the villains, and because one of my best friends is the showrunner on Superman, and that's just the floor above us at Warner Brothers. So I pop into his office every now and then just to chat, and he's been showing me storyboards and, you know, key art from Season 2, and it is. Let's just say, if you're worried about retreading the same ground as Season 1, okay, we've seen those interactions before, we've seen the love triangle the same way, blah 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 blah, you are not going to be disappointed. They're going to tread some new ground, they're going to switch things up, they're going to go in places you weren't expecting. Get ready for a fun Season 2 and hints towards an even better Season 3.
Do you know who's voicing Lex Luthor, or is that like a secret?
I wouldn't.
Oh, Max Middleman.
Max Middleman.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure he's great because Jake Wyatt, the showrunner, BYU grad.
Oh.
Jake Wyatt is a perfectionist of the best variety, and he just wants it to be great, and he's doing a good job.
Well, what we love about this show, and Lee loves especially about the show, is how earnest it is. It's just mm-hmm. so sincere, and that we hope it doesn't lose that. That's what
like
sets
this. This is Superman. Like exactly. when he protects Lois from like a barrage of bullets, right? And she's like, you didn't know you were bulletproof. He's like, I just knew that you weren't.
Yeah.
No, that Jake is such a sincere, earnest, lovely man that I don't think he has it in him to not follow through all the way to the end on those things that you love about.
Oh, that's great to hear. Great to hear. So that'll be coming on Adult Swim May 25th is when that returns for Season 2. Now, I'm, as you know, a huge Planet of the Apes fan.
Monkeys.
Big fan of the monkeys.
All of them. all of the Planet of the Apes movies. I love them all. even Battle for the Planet of the Apes. I love them all. But we got another trailer, the final trailer for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And I was excited to watch it over and over again. I'm just going to warn you, there is a major spoiler in it.
Uh-oh.
So if you're averse to those kinds of things, don't watch it. It's terrific, but don't watch it.
Okay. Like, how big of a spoiler do you think?
It's a big twist in this whole new Planet of the Apes movies. I'm hesitant to go any further because I don't want to spill it.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Right. My on top of all of my other homework that I have every single week, I'm going to try to watch all of the three other reboot Planet of the Apes movies before I see this next week.
They're all just so damn good. And I'm going to venture out from the basement and go to an actual movie theater when this opens to see
this. Whoa.
A wild Carrie sighting?
I know, right? You might see me in the wild in the theater by myself. What I do is I pick matinees during the week. And it's usually just me and three other people. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, major spoiler in this. I'm just warning you right now. You know, you had me at, you know, chimps on horses with rifles and a falcon, you know, on his arm. That's just absolutely perfect Planet of the Apes right there, okay?
Have you seen any of the marketing that they're doing? They've got men in monkey suits on horses in major cities. Oh. And I feel horrible for the dogs who have no idea what they're seeing.
This was, I saw footage of it, and it was up around San Francisco, because that's where the apes are kind of based, is in the Mirror Woods up there. And there were three actors in full chimp makeup. I mean, the costumes that they can do on this are just astounding. And they're just riding horses, not saying a word to anybody, just
out patrolling.
Just out patrolling. Citizen. Move on. I just love that kind of marketing. Guerrilla marketing, you might say.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
I am so legally sorry. Okay, please don't write that down as an episode title. No. I feel like it's an unjust.
That's terrible, and I'm sorry.
I appreciate it, Carrie. I mean, don't you dare apologize.
With Derek, there's like, man, I wish I'd come up with that one.
I'm gonna go stand in the corner.
No, it was bad, and you should feel bad.
I should. Honorary
dad, Carrie Jackson, honorary dad.
Well, let me make up for it by giving you a chance to give to a worthy cause. Lee George Cade, everybody, who is not here today because he's getting, he had his surgery this week. He got through it just fine. He's recovering, last I heard, and doing well. This is the Venmo that you can donate to Mr. Cade's medical bills. All that money goes directly to Lee. It does not go through a middleman. Every penny will go to the medical bills, which are, I think we're coming up on $1 million now, folks.
Woo! Yeah. If we had one of those like drawn thermostats that you fill in with marker, I don't know where it would be, honestly.
No, when I say we're coming up on $1 million, I mean that's how much he owes, not how much we've raised. Okay.
Yeah.
It's tragic. But anyway, he made it through his surgery. We're hoping that he'll be back here. Hopefully next week. We'll see. We'll see how he feels. But
after he sucked everything out through his navel.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a belly button anymore, you guys. Like, sorry if I stole the thunder from him sharing that with the class, but he said he doesn't have a belly button anymore.
Like I said, Kyle XY. Press on belly buttons.
Yeah. We should just get him a googly eye.
Give him strength.
Yes. Geekshow.store is still up, and I don't know. Get that, would you, Derek? Please.
Yeah, I'm turning that off.
we've changed the logo a bit. Derek designed the original logo for Geek Show.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and we changed it slightly. Lee did some tweaks on it. There. You like that?
Yeah.
And that's at Geekshow.store. You can pick those up. Yeah, I like that. Mm. Anyway, we love seeing our logo out in the wild. Thank you for doing that and sending us pictures. We appreciate that.
And don't forget the limited. Oh, my God, it's so limited edition.
I swear it's going soon. So
I've heard that before.
I love it.
As soon as I know who to call to take it down, that's No one's telling me anything. I don't know. Anyway, also our Patreon, geekshowgotthiscovered.com is the link to our Patreon. You get the after party. You get the baked potato. You get the fries. You get the Space Show early. And I shot two videos, and they waiting for Tony's been so busy he hasn't had a chance to put them up yet. But I did two Time Closet videos that we'll be putting on there as well. So join us. Geekshowgotthiscovered.com is the link to our Patreon. Okay. Well, it's been a good week for Paul Walter Hauser.
I love him so much.
Good actor. And he got two jobs in 1 week. Very
excited. How many jobs you got?
Exactly. Well, the first one, he's going to be in the new Fantastic Four movie.
Who do we think?
I don't know.
Come on, who do we really think, though?
The Impossible Man?
Is he not going to be like Mole Man or something?
I've seen the suggestion of Mole Man get tossed around.
And I don't mean like, I know that's like crappy because he's a bigger guy. I don't mean just assume that's all it could be, but like, I love Mole Man, and I just want him to be Mole Man.
That's a good call, Derek. I like
that. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Or he could just be the new Willy Lumpkin, because they don't have Stan Lee anymore.
That's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he got that job, and then he also got the job as Captain Ed in the new Naked Gun movie. So
he's also, I think, in the SNL movie that they're making. He's Farley.
He is. There's a Chris Farley biopic that's coming out, and he's playing Chris Farley.
Oh, is he in the biopic? Because there's also an SNL movie.
The SNL movie takes place in the 70s, but there is a Chris Farley biopic that they're making as well, he's in that. Yeah,
interesting.
So that's
crazy. And unfortunately, Tarantino looks like he's not going to go forward with The Critic, where he was going to be the lead of that. And that was, I was really looking forward to that.
I was too. I wish Quentin Tarantino would get over himself. Like
Paul Walter Hauser is a porn mag movie critic. Like, just mwah.
Absolutely perfect. Hopefully Tarantino will get his shit together and do that Star Trek movie that I want to do.
I can't remember what award show it was, but he won an award, and for his speech, he read a poem that he wrote. If you can find it, look it up. It was spectacular. He did such a great job.
Was it funny or earnest or what?
It was earnest. It was it was really sweet. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really quick, going back, I could see Mole Man, especially if they go with like Fantastic Four, if they base the story loosely on Fantastic Four 1, since that was a Mole Man story.
Yeah.
So well, that would track.
Marvel put out a list of Fantastic Four comics that they said you should read before.
And that was one of them,
the movie, and that was one of them. So I like the call for Mole Man. That's I didn't even think about that. Terrific.
And seeing him ham it up too. Oh, he can get hammy. Love it.
That's a great idea.
Unrelated. Did you see Giancarlo Esposito say that he's got a deal going on at Marvel and we're not like he's got a role that none of us have theorized about?
What?
Oh my God, he's going to be Bishop. No.
He's got to be Dr. Doom, man. He's got to be.
I saw an idea that somebody put out there that he's Dracula.
Oh, for
Blade, maybe. Mm?
Oh, you
ever heard anything about Blade?
If they ever make Blade,
year.
Have we seen Galactus yet? Either man, that guy's got to be a gravitas to do a Galactus in a way that I don't think we're ready for.
Oh,
if we thought Josh Brolin was good at Thanos, get Giancarlo Esposito as a Galactus, and everyone's minds are going to explode.
Oh,
as long as it's not a giant cloud, I'm happy.
That's not bad. I like that. All right. Let's see. Prime Video, these streaming services occasionally release their numbers when they want to. And they are proud that Fallout is Prime Video's most watched series since Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. Raking in 65 million viewers globally in the first 16 days. I mean, it's good. I don't know. Robert, you seem kind of
No. I enjoyed it. But again, I wasn't somebody who played Fallout. So for me, it was like, this is entirely new territory. And I thought it was fun. I'm not a binger, so I spaced it out over a number of weeks. Because I'm old. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I am curious to see where it goes, because the end was okie dokie, and I'm just kind of like, okay, but where are we going with this?
Oh, the end sets up New Vegas, though, and that's what I am excited for. Did you see that sales for, I think it was Fallout 4 and Fallout 76 in Great Britain went up 7,500% after the show came out?
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a hit.
This is a television show on the telly.
The telly.
We gotta play the game now.
Americans are wild.
It's also been fun watching Walton Goggins do interviews talking about some of the things that he went through during the taping, because he's just like, yeah, this thing happened and it was ridiculous. And just listening to him, and as outrageous as a couple of the situations have been, just him going like, but I still had a great time doing it. I'm just kind of like, I appreciate this man, and I feel that I have underestimated him and underrated him up to this point for too many things.
Did you see his interview? I think it was with GQ, and the person interviewing him asked him about the line, war never changes, which is like the key line from Fallout. It's in like all of the games. And the interviewer asked him if he knew like the significance of the line, and Walton Goggins was like, no, I had no idea, and I'm mad that you told me about it. Like, and because he's like, doesn't want the pressure. And so he even said, like, if there's another thing like that for season two, please don't tell me, because I don't want to know.
Well, I have yet to see him in anything where he is not stellar. I mean, he's everything that I've ever seen him in, he just stands out. Even his bit parts in the Ant-Man movies, he stood out. He was terrific.
Vice Principals, anybody?
Yes.
Sons of Anarchy, playing a trans prostitute. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where I first saw him. And I was like, who is this guy?
My friend Chris loves him as Baby Billy in the Gemstones.
Yeah.
He loves that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, this Evangeline movie. And we got Olivia Wilde directing. And originally, Margot Robbie was going to just produce it. She wasn't going to be in it. But now I'm getting a report from Deadline saying that she might be in it after all. She might star in it, which I think is a good choice.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Now, I read Blind Items, and, you know, how much truth there are to Blind Items, who knows? But it had been kind of circulating that Margot Robbie, once the Barbie tour was finished, she was going to take a break from acting and focus more on, like, producing so that she and her husband could start building a family. Mm-hmm. Again, Blind Item, I don't know her personally, but I kind of felt like that was the track she was taking after Barbie. So, like, for her to star in this movie feels kind of weird to me.
Deadline is, you know, 65% of the time right. So that's the only reason I bring it up. And I think she'd be good.
She's amazing.
It would be a chance for this movie to work, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You need somebody in that title, in that role. I mean, because it's an unknown character. I think you need the star power to put Keistas in the seats.
Well, and between her, like if she's starring in it and her production company and Olivia Wilde's directing, you're going to get a movie that's not just eye candy for men. Like, it's actually going to have
a story,
some soul to it.
Well, look at how, like, her producing Barbie, like putting together Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach and convincing Mattel to let them do that. Like, let's not underestimate her abilities as a producer to make this thing just great, because I think pretty face, good actor, sometimes we forget that the production side of things is where it really comes together or falls apart. And
exactly.
I think we're looking at something really good. And then with Rob Liefeld, too, that guy makes things happen and gets things done, too. So we could be surprised by just kind of this eye candy book turning into something bigger than it is deserves, maybe.
They're going to make it woke.
That's what I was.
Thank you. Please do.
I'm all for that. Let's see. Something else in the works. The Maze Runner reboot. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see the...
I haven't read these books. I haven't seen these movies. I see Will Poulter is there.
No, and I mean, I know that they're middle. I think they're Middle Ages or a middle, what do you call it, middle reader books.
Young adult.
YA.
So your kids.
So the girls haven't started them yet. And I'm trying. Well, the girls are at that point, but I don't think they've read these yet. But I will have to ask and see what they thought of them if they have.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with it. Centered on a group of teens who find themselves arriving in a walled setting named the Glade, with their memories wiped out. Beyond the four walls of the encampment lies a maze filled with deadly mechanical creatures and doors, and it shuts down every night at sundown. One arrival figures out the key to the group's survival and attempts to lead them out. So they're going to bring it back.
It's the Cell in reverse.
It is, yeah.
Or it's Cube in reverse. I'm sorry.
I mean, the last one we got was in 2018, and they're rebooting it already. I don't know.
I have two words for you. No, sorry. It's one word. Spider-Man.
Ah, there you go.
Just, this is one of those shows, or movie. This should just go, like, direct to Netflix. Like, this is, that.
I'm going to counter that. I'm going to say that I think that this is a way that if you can bring a property that young readers like to the movie theaters, get them in seats, get them interested in a visual medium. I mean, now I am all for reading. Please do not get me wrong. But I think that this is a way to possibly reinvigorate the market because you get young people interested in going to, you know, getting out of the house, seeing the movie with a full theater experience. And I think that that's actually to my thinking, a good thing for the industry. Yeah. And who just said it? Buck Hunter? No, not Buck Hunter.
Jimmy Johns?
Jimmy Johns, yeah. A boy version of Divergent. From what I've heard, sure. I would say, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Thanks, Jimmy. All right. This has been back and forth and back and forth, but it's back on track now. Masters of the Universe live action movie.
Gosh, I had Skeletors.
Netflix had it. They scrapped it. Now it's moving forward at Amazon with Travis Knight on board to direct. They've got a date. They've picked June 5th, 2026. So maybe it'll happen. We'll see.
Is Travis Knight the Laika guy?
Yes, he is.
He also did Bumblebee, which was
okay.
Quite good.
He's done,
quite good.
Yeah, Kubo and the Two Strings, Bumblebee. Oh.
He's a good director. He can do if anybody can pull it off. Here's the official synopsis, though. Let's see how we feel about this. A 10-year-old Prince Adam, who crashed to Earth in a spaceship and was separated from his magical power sword, the only link to his home on Eternia. After tracking it down almost two decades later, Prince Adam is whisked back across space to defend his home planet against the evil forces of Skeletor. But to defeat such a powerful villain, Prince Adam will need to uncover the mysteries of his past to become He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. So it'll be kind of a, you know, snarky He-Man with, you know, pop culture references and that kind of thing is the feeling I'm
getting. So the Barbie movie?
In reverse.
Star-Lord vibes, perhaps?
I was going to say Guardians of the Galaxy was what I was thinking. But
And I'm curious, are they going to play up the fact that in the Masters of the Universe lore, his mother is from Earth. She's an astronaut. And she wound up on Eternia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so it literally is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I mean, but it's one of these things where she was an astronaut. Her ship, you know, gets knocked off course, winds up in Eternia, blah, blah, blah. She just makes the best of it, becomes the queen, raises two superheroes. Well, sorry, bears two superheroes. But yeah,
spoiler,
so I'm curious if they will keep that element in there. Listen, just like you went to Earth, where have you been? If she's still alive when he gets back to Eternia,
I'm all for that. But I will be in the theater if Stinkor, the evil master of odors, shows up because the greatest He-Man villain of all time. Tony in our Discord, he just discovered that animated series, the Kevin Smith one.
Oh, it was so good. It is so good.
I could never find that one, Derek. Damn it.
Ooh. All of your collections combined.
I love He-Man so much. Like, the character designs are just so wild and classic and wonderful.
What do you think of that new one, The Revolution, that's on Netflix? Have you seen that yet?
I like it. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm just such a sucker for that world. That, you know, I was born in 1980, so like He-Man to me is like the first thing that was really like, what is this? This was made for me, like specifically.
That's pretty cool. All right. Another project that was announced. Kristen Stewart and Oscar Isaac. I mean, you got me right away. Mm-hmm. Vampire movie called Flesh of the Gods.
Directed by the guy who did Mandy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So like, stop selling. I'm already there.
Adam McKay is producing. It's, yeah, it says, like Los Angeles itself, Flesh of the Gods inhabits the liminal realm between fantasy and nightmare, both propulsive and hypnotic. Flesh will take you on a hot rod joyride deep into the glittering heart of hell.
Yeah, yes, okay, yes.
Right. Oh, it's set in L.A. during the 80s.
I'm seated.
Okay. Is there anything else I can do to get you in the theater?
I'm there.
Finding out about an intimacy coordinator on set would help.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's kind of a given.
One of my, and thank you, Rebecca, for the t-shirt. I wear it quite often. It's a t-shirt. This is Oscar Isaac invented ska on it.
A video of him recently was circulating Twitter again in his ska band in the early 2000s.
It didn't say the name of his band, did it?
Oh, I can look it up.
Would you please? I looked and I couldn't find the name of it, so you're better at that than I am. Let's see. We got a couple of things here. Final news item, and then we got a discussion item for you. This is interesting to me because I guess I'm just not in this bubble, and maybe you guys with kids are in it. I was surprised to find that Knuckles, the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, is the most watched original series on Paramount Plus. It's huge over there, apparently.
Interesting. And no, not here at least.
Not in your house?
I don't know that the girls have even seen the Sonic movie.
Oh.
What?
Those are very
come
good.
Come on, Rebecca. The Marvels. That's all I'm saying.
Derek, so, your kids?
They love the Sonic movies, and we don't have Paramount Plus, but I just found out Adam Pally is in this show.
Yes. And I love Adam Pally so much.
So I'm getting literally 2 days ago, he was on like Seth Meyers or something, and he's like, I'm on the Knuckles show. I'm like, Rachel, can we get Paramount Plus, please? he's so funny. And so my kids already like Sonic, so we'll be watching it.
And then I want you to watch Star Trek Discovery. This season has just been stellar. Just so good this season. Anyway.
So Oscar Isaac, taking it back to Oscar Isaac, he's been in a few different bands.
I think it's one
band. I don't know which band the video is that he's playing in, but so his band names have included the Blinking Underdogs, the Worms, Closet Heterosexuals, and Petrified Frogs. And he has opened for bands like Green Day and the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is there anything this guy can't do? I mean, let's just go there.
I know, right? Moon Knight. I'm telling you, Moon Knight is one of the best Marvel things to ever happen. Anyway. Speaking of Marvel, here we go. I found this article that they were interviewing the Russo brothers.
These fucking guys.
We're far enough in now, Derek, that we can let it fly.
Filters off.
Yeah, that's how the algorithm works. They pay attention for the first 5 minutes, and then after that, it's, you know.
What a wonderful world we're living in.
I know, right? Here's what they had to say. The directors... See if you agree or disagree. I don't know where I stand on this. Talking about the changing taste among young people and why Marvel's post-Endgame stories have failed to gain traction. They say it's not superhero fatigue. Here's what they said. There's a big generational divide about how you consume media. There's a generation that's used to appointment viewing and going to a theater on a certain day to see something, but it's aging out. Meanwhile, the new generation are, I want it now, I want to process it now, then moving on to the next thing, which they process whilst doing two other things at the same time. You know, it's a very different moment in time than it's ever been, and so I think everyone, including Marvel, is experiencing the same thing, this transition, and I think that really is probably at play more than anything else. I think the two-hour format, the structure that goes into making a movie, is over a century old now, and everything always transitions. So there is something happening again. That form is repetitive, but it's hard to reinvent that form. And I think this next generation is looking for ways to tell their own stories, and that service their own sort of collective ADHD. So they're not blaming superhero fatigue. They're blaming you darn kids.
I think these guys need to pull their heads out of their asses, because I like, maybe that's part of it. I don't think it's the reason. I think there's like a whole host of like supporting variables for why people are just not into the Marvel movies like they used to be. Endgame was such a natural stopping point for a lot of people. And then COVID happened and we got bombarded in 2021 with Marvel stuff. So they kept writing checks that they can't keep writing those checks now, obviously. Like so many movies have been delayed. Like I think there's a lot of different reasons. And to blame the kids, to blame the youth is such a lazy tactic.
I would just say this to the Russos. Remember, what was it, Quibi? Quibi?
Quibi.
I mean, that's what that service was designed for. They purposely said, people watch 10 minutes at a time, so we're making shows that are that, and it failed spectacularly.
But part of that, too, was COVID, because the whole purpose of Quibi was for people to be able to watch it, like, on the subway, waiting in line at the bank or whatever. But then COVID happened, and people weren't leaving the house anymore. And so, like,
Well, I don't think it's entirely fatigue, because you have movies that came out during this time, like The Batman. People went to go see that in theaters. Mm-hmm. You had, there were other movies with other heroes that came out and left theaters quickly. I just don't think that it was, I think that in those cases, not great stories. And to be honest, Marvel had a few of those that were not great stories. Mm-hmm. And I think that the other problem, at least in Marvel's case, is they gave us, four straight years of nothing but trauma and grief, because their entire phase four was the trauma and grief and processing of everything that came from the 15 years before that. Mm-hmm. So you get an entire phase of movies. It's just like, we're just going to beat you down emotionally. Yeah. People are going to be like, you know, I come to the movies to feel good, not to just get beaten and abused. So thanks. I'm out.
And can we also strike a little bit of continuity fatigue? Like,
yes.
I don't want to watch every single thing you put out in order to understand anything you put out. Mm-hmm. I got sick of having to watch everything to enjoy the things I was excited about.
Totally. I think that's a huge part of it.
There's something to it. And I think that they know that now. And I think they're going to be addressing it. Certainly, when I showed a trailer of the Deadpool Wolverine movie to a friend of mine, he said, oh, God, I now I have to go do homework. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
They said, specifically said that you won't have to. I think they're lying, but they said that you won't have to.
Yeah, I think you won't have to.
I think
to.
They won't.
There'll be a lot of jokes there for people like us. And then there will be the rest of the movie, you know, which I think will flow just fine and explain itself just fine. And I think Marvel's also very aware of that now. And so they're going to start in the movies presenting. Honestly, that's why I like the TV series, the Marvel TV series so much, is because it's like it's made for people like us, you know.
My hot boomer take is I think Marvel should move to strictly TV shows. I think trying to focus on movies and TV shows is a little bit much, and I think they should just shift all of their focus into TV shows.
Well, we said the same thing about Star Wars, didn't we?
What?
We've kind of said on this show over the years that the Star Wars TV shows seem to work, and the movies don't for some reason.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We pass these ideas on to Hollywood, would you, Derek, please?
Yeah, Derek, do you know David Zaslav personally?
I will just keep my mouth shut in regards to my opinions on David Zaslav as a current Warner Brothers employee. He's real popular around the office, I'll say that much. Real popular.
Oh, man. Okay, sorry. Sorry I did that to you.
He's a motherfucker. All right, let's move on.
Hot takes.
So technical difficulties. Boo.
Oh, sorry about that. Anyway. What did you consume this week? Who wants to go first? Rebecca, did you make it to the movies?
Oh, I have quite a bit of stuff to talk about this week, and I'm very excited.
Okay.
First of all, I went to The Phantom Menace, 11 a.m., D-box seats, wanted to feel like I was pod racing, got to feel like I was pod racing. You know who knows how to have a good time? Other people who go to the D-box seats at 11 in the morning to watch The Phantom Menace. We all know what's up. We all had a blast. I read two books I would like to talk to you about today. Mickey 7.
Oh, both of these are going to be movies. Yeah.
Correct. Exactamundo. Yes. So Mickey 7, written by Edward Ashton. I started this book because it's going to be a movie. And as of this recording, not supposed to come out until January 2025. But written and directed by Bong Joon-ho, who did Parasite, and also starring Robert Pattinson. The premise is Mickey is part of a team in space on an alien world, and his job title is Expendable. So he is the one that they send on dangerous missions, and when he dies, he just is replaced by his own clone with all of most of his memories intact. Some real Ship of Theseus stuff. And I was hoping this would be a little bit more adventurous than it was. Overall, it was kind of bland.
Really?
No offense to the Brandon Sanderson fans, but it gave me real Brandon Sanderson vibes. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
But I am like super curious to see how this will be adapted. Because Bong Joon-ho is a little bit more like intense than I assumed this book was.
And the book is Mickey 7, but his movie is a larger number than that. So
he specifically said in an interview that he changed it to Mickey 17 so that he could kill Robert Pattinson 10 more times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to have some good stuff in it.
Yeah, so I gave it a 3 out of 5. I listened to the audiobook version, which was fun. You know, if you want to prepare for Mickey 17. The other book I read, Project Hail Mary, written by Andy Weir, if you have read The Martian. I don't know why I was so resistant to read this book, because I really loved The Martian and everyone had nothing but really good things to say about Project Hail Mary. So essentially, the protagonist wakes up in a coma aboard a spaceship and has no memory of how he got there. So we follow him through present day like scenarios and flashbacks as he pieces together like what his situation is. And it turns out he's an astronaut on an expedition to help solve an extinction level event. And I don't want to say anything more than that about the book, because it was fantastic. I have not been this hooked on a book in a long time. I was listening to it nonstop for 2 days straight. Listen to the audiobook if you can. It was just so good. Like, it was funny. It's smart without making you feel stupid. Definitely, I got way too attached to characters. And I have book hangover after Project Hail Mary. So if you haven't read it, please, for the love of God, read it. I gave it 5 out of 5. Movies. Went and saw Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Lee talked about it last week. Guy Ritchie getting Nazis. I felt like Guy Ritchie had a homework assignment due the next day. But I mean, I don't know. Henry Cavill, Alan Richardson, Henry Golding, like all of these hot people killing Nazis. Guy Ritchie, like the formula is all there. Like, I didn't hate it, but it just was lacking.
Okay.
Gave that one a 3 out of 5. New this week, The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
This is the one I've been curious about.
So, directed by David Leitch, who is a former stuntman himself, and he has directed movies like Atomic Blonde, Hobbs and Shaw, Deadpool 2. We follow Ryan Gosling as a stuntman who returns to the business after having like a career-ending accident. But he returns to the industry to help find the missing action star of a movie that the love of his life, Emily Blunt, is directing. This was so much fun. If you like action movies, like, it was so much fun. I love when a movie is a love letter to filmmaking, not a love letter to Hollywood. They're two very different types of movies.
Yeah.
But this is a love letter to filmmaking, and especially showcasing the people who work behind the scenes who never, ever, ever get the credit. So like all of the stunt crew and the people who work to help the stunt crew. This movie really shines a light on them and shows you just how cool that part of the industry is.
I've said for years that the stuntmen need an Academy Award. You know,
This movie, I think, really strives to help get those teams the recognition that they deserve. The script itself is super clever. The direction is awesome. It is a stunt showcase, but all of the fight scenes kind of feel natural within the story, and it doesn't really feel forced at all. Ryan Gosling oozes charm. Like, there was a moment where he was looking at Emily Blunt, and I was sitting in my seat, kicking my feet and squeeing because, like, oh my God, he's so handsome.
So can I break this a little bit for you?
What?
Can I break this a little bit for you?
Sure.
Well, first I have a question. Was Lee Majors in this movie?
I don't want to say.
Okay. I will take that. So
shut up, Carrie.
Because I've seen the trailers, and when I saw the first trailer for this, I was just like, I remember watching this on Wednesday nights on ABC as a serious show, and it's like, all right, and now they're doing a comedy, and I because I'm an old person, I have a hard time with change. I'm like, I don't know. So hearing you say this, I'm like, okay, that gives me hope. I'm delighted to hear that it does shine a light on the people that never get any spotlight.
Yeah.
And
what I've been told from other film critics who I've seen that talked to, they said about the only thing that is the same as the series is the character's name and that he's a stuntman.
Okay.
Beyond that, it's not the same show at all.
Well, right, because in the original show, he was a stuntman who moonlighted as a bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, how are they going to pull that off and have Ryan Gosling ooze charm? But hearing you talk about it, I'm like, okay. So thank you for making me now more interested in seeing this movie. I mean, I like Ryan Gosling. I like Emily Blunt, but I'm just kind of like, but it's the Fall Guy, and it's not. Get off my lawn.
There is that bounty hunter aspect to it because Aaron Taylor Johnson, the star of the movie that Emily Blunt is directing, which, by the way, they absolutely poke fun at Zack Snyder, and it's hilarious.
Good.
Okay, I'm in. You just sold it for me.
But his whole deal is trying to track down Aaron Taylor Johnson. So the whole plot of the movie is bounty hunter. Something that they hadn't mentioned, which I really wish they would have, Stephanie Hsu from Everything Everywhere All at Once and Winston Duke are both in this movie.
Oh, really?
Ooh, no. I like Winston Duke.
Yeah, I love him. He's so much fun. Anyway, just, I gave it 4 out of 5. I loved it. If you like filmmaking, I think you'll like the Fall Guy.
All right.
Speaking of charming, last movie I want to talk about, The Idea of You. This is a movie debuted on Prime.
Oh, yes.
Written and directed by Michael Showalter, of all people, if you know who Michael Showalter is.
From the state, yes. Mm-hmm.
From the state.
The Baxter.
And it was also co-written by Jennifer Westfeldt, who dated John Hamm for 18 years. I'm going to circle back around to that in just a minute. So The Idea of You is based on a 2017 novel that was not explicitly inspired by fan fiction, but the author used Harry Styles as inspiration. So the movie follows a 40-year-old single mom, played by Anne Hathaway, and her relationship with a 24-year-old man named Hayes Campbell, played by Nicholas Gillett-Zean, who is one of the most famous boy band members in the world. And I am embarrassed by how much I loved this movie. If you have ever spent any amount of time on the website fanfiction.net, I think you would like this movie. It plays exactly like you're reading fan fiction. I felt like I was 15 again, honestly. Like, it's very tropey, but it is just pure romance movie candy, and I loved like every ounce of it.
Yeah, Brett in the chat room says he loved it too.
I'm embarrassed by how much I loved it. Anne Hathaway.
Selling point for me, by the way.
I was going to say, I better not watch it then, yeah.
Anne Hathaway, absolutely perfect in this role, and the chemistry between her and the other guy is insanely hot. Like, I couldn't believe I gave this movie 4.5 stars, but like, here I am. I had to rate with my heart, you know?
Could somebody explain to me why the Anne Hathaway hate that's out there? I don't understand that.
It's because she's an Earnest Theater Kid. So like,
Yes,
she's an Earnest Theater Kid. And so when she won her Oscar for Les Mis and she gets up on stage holding the Oscar and looks at it and says, "It came true." Embarrassing. But like, she overall is such a lovely person. Again, haven't met her, only living through my parasocial relationship with her, but she's phenomenal. There's a clip, she went doing interviews for this movie, she went on Jimmy Fallon and asked the audience if they had read the book that this movie was based on, and just silence. You could hear a pin drop. Yeah. And Jimmy Fallon, the only time he's ever like been funny, was like, "We don't read over here. If you want to talk about books, you go over to Stephen Colbert."
Ooh. Well, he knows his audience.
Yeah. But yeah, just a fantastic movie. It's on Prime. So
all right.
Watch it. Yeah.
I will get back to you.
I'll watch it.
Is that everything?
Yeah. Yep, that's everything.
All right. Robert, Derek, who wants to go next?
Robert? Go for it, Robert.
Okay.
I'll go for it. Okay, so consuming. Well, speaking of the biggest place to consume things, I went to Vegas and went to Omega Mart.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
And because I have kids, I saw parts of Omega Mart. But didn't I get to do the story?
Oh, no.
I was going to say, you probably didn't get to do the whole story, huh?
No, but I had a ton of fun. I took my dark side character. Because like, it's a supermarket with a giant Omega sign. Darkseid shops here.
Yes, so, of course.
So, went through, climbed through things, crawled under things, looked all around things, bought a couple of things, and had a great time. The girls did enjoy it.
Great.
We also went to Ka to see that while we were there. This is my first Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, really? Oh,
Holy okay. Mother of God.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow. I mean, that is pretty much all I could say about that, other than it was amazing.
And that show's been playing there forever, too.
I'm just sitting there watching this, just going, what the hell?
Yeah. How are they doing this?
You know, and just looking at the engineering behind, like, the stage and the athleticism of the performers, mm-hmm. Totally just blown away.
Which I don't understand why, when they decided to do that Spider-Man Broadway play, why they didn't bring in the Cirque du Soleil people.
No idea.
You know?
But I mean, if you ever get a chance to see it and you have not, do so. And my wife did a surprise for the girls and we went to Tournament of Kings.
Huzzah!
Oh my goodness.
Did you did you guys get into it? We got into it.
Oh, we did. Here, here. Yeah, it was the total package. My youngest was fascinated and delighted by the fact that she didn't have to use utensils to eat her dinner.
Yeah.
She was like, I get all this food. She looks around and goes, I don't have a fork. And she's like, you don't get one. Eyes this big. Really?
It's like when I introduced my nieces to dipping their French fries in the milkshake. What?
Exactly.
It was Rob texted me before they went, and he was like, "Do you have any like suggestions?" And I was like, "Yeah, bring your own spices."
We did.
Good.
There was a salt and pepper shaker in the resort in our room, and I said, "You put this in your purse. I might need this later."
Mm-hmm.
And did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I do not regret that.
I saw you visited a comic book store down there too.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Not only did I visit a comic shop. I picked up.
That's a good shot, by the way, that you went to.
Yeah. Oh, OMAC, the way God and John and Jack Kirby intended him to be.
Wow, look at that. Oh.
But yeah, went to Alternate Reality Comics. Nice little shop. A friend of mine who owns Acme Comics back in North Carolina recommended it to me. He says, if you get a chance, go there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So popped in, and great shop. I will definitely go back when I go back to Vegas. But had fun doing that. And it was a nice little get away from Salt Lake, do something fun.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Let's see, as far as, media, X-Men 97 is still knocking it out of the park. This last episode, I mean, I keep wondering how can they outdo episode 6 with Genosha, and they keep doing it and just ramping it up more and more every episode. And I am loving it.
It's so weird because I was never a fan of the series, you know, the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing, they're taking that old thing and going, let's fix that. And here you go.
Totally.
You know?
And, you know, and you're just watching, you know, I'm watching Jean being mom, like, put on your seatbelt to Cable. And Cable just has like, you're not my mom. Within the scene where they're driving through, you know, a torrent of Prime Sentinels, and Scott's like, all right, look, let's just show him I don't mess with the Summers. And if you notice, his license plate on his car said Slim, which is his long-term nickname in the X-Men. So this is, Scott has a vanity plate.
Wolverine would always call him Slim. That's right.
Yeah. But because he was always, before like Jim Lee took over, really skinny guy, just always drawn really thin and muscly, but not buff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, watching the scene where they're going through and just, you know, Scott's firing off I-beams, Cable's firing off lasers, and Gene's just like, I'm driving a car with my mind. I'm a badass. You know, totally fun. Discovery, Star Trek Discovery. Oh, man. I am sad that we only have two more episodes to watch because
it's been so good.
It's
this
firing
season.
On all cylinders this time.
Yes.
And doing such a good job. And I'm really, much like Commander Shelby, I did not like Commander. Renner, when he joined the crew, he's growing on me like Shaw and Shelby both did. Just like, oh man, you're actually a decent guy. So that's been good. Comics wise, really fast.
Yes.
Superman 113. You get a Superman Lobo team up. That's all I'm going to say. But you need to read it because listening to their reading their conversation, it's a conversation you never expected Superman and Lobo to ever have.
Oh, okay. Now you got me intrigued.
Nightwing Annual. It's a story around Nightwing, featuring B. Bennett, a character who's appeared during his time as Rick Grayson when he lost his memory, and then seeing how her story kind of has woven around Nightwing's over the past few years.
All right.
Get Fury.
Oh, what's this?
This is a new Max title from Marvel, written by Garth Ennis, featuring Frank Castle, pre-Punisher days, and Colonel Nick Fury, Sr. I'm really on the fence about this one. I want to like it, but it hasn't hooked me yet. I'll give the next issue a shot to see if they finally bring it home. But it's Castle before he was the Punisher. Still not a great guy.
No. But he's not the hero.
And I will give Ennis this. He captures that very well.
Good.
So there is that. I can't talk about this. Sons of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Because is that a Cardassian?
You have people. Yeah, you have a Cardassian. You have a certain Mariner.
Mm-hmm.
You have Nog. You have Jake Sisko. You have a certain young Klingon, half Klingon, or three quarter Klingon kid.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
We're leaving a lot of this vague, Derek, because Rebecca is making her way through the Star Trek universe slowly. That's on the Space Show, and we're only midway through Next Gen right now.
And it's a fun read. Yeah. X-Men 34, Charles is, right, they're all coming home to roost still, and Charles is now a bad guy, officially.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, that's great. Thanks, Chuck. And for Carrie...
Well,
Space Ghost!
I've never seen him look so cool.
Well, you know, I'm way ahead of you on that one. See, the variant covers, and I want you to get a look at the way they're drawing Brack.
Yes.
See, this is serious Space Ghost.
He's so scary.
I love it though.
See, kids, Space Ghost when he started out was a serious superhero. You know,
so literally, I was in the car with my husband this week talking about Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and talking about how it was a cartoon and before the Coast to Coast, and he was like, I thought it was just Coast to Coast, and I'm like, no,
exactly.
It was like a serious thing,
which is why when Coast to Coast came along, I loved it so much, because it took this serious character and messed with him, and I just loved it. You get the space monkey too.
Yeah, you get Blip. Yeah. And a young Jan and Jace, and you get their backstory, which we've never really heard before. Like, why are they hanging out with this guy who just stays in his pajamas all day.
He's, you know, and puts them in danger constantly. Why are you doing that anyway?
Yeah.
But so. It's got some good art. The writer reached out to me on my Twitter and followed me. And,
oh, wow. Nice.
David Peepos. He was very nice.
Yeah, that's all the news from Lake Wobegon.
Well, then, Derek, go ahead.
Me? So I am in a really long time, I've not been as excited to delve into a new comic world as I have with the Energon Universe stuff. Are you reading any of the... So I picked up Transformers because I love Daniel Warren Johnson as a writer and artist. And he's, you know, he did the Beta Ray Bill limited series. He did Wonder Woman Dead Earth. He did lots of great stuff. Do a Power Bomb and Extremity and Murder Falcon. But he's writing and drawing Transformers. And it was just so good that I also picked up Void Rivals, which ties into that, which is written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by Lorenzo Di Felici. And I liked that so much that I had to get the other books that tie into it, Duke, Cobra Commander. And I'm kind of blown away by how much I'm liking these properties that I was never really all that nostalgic for. I watched G.I. Joe as a kid. Transformers was fine.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, this whole shared universe of G.I. Joe and Transformers that they're building up at Skybound has been really quite surprising to me. So that is highly recommended. I just got back from C2E2 last weekend. Oh, so I was in Chicago.
Hmm.
I picked up The Last Mermaid by Derek Kirk Kim, which is, I think it's third issue, maybe is coming out this week, or maybe it came out last week. Really cool kind of story set in a post-apocalyptic world. The Last Mermaid is, you know, the main character. Beautifully drawn, beautifully written, very slow, decompressed storytelling. And I haven't gotten a chance to read a lot of the other stuff I picked up, but I picked up a lot of really good indie stuff from Silver Sprocket Books, which is a comic shop in San Francisco that is also an indie publisher.
Oh,
so they put out a really great book from Michael Sweater called Everything Sucks, which I picked up the new issue. And then they just had a lot of really beautiful stuff at their booth that picked up, but haven't read yet.
Okay.
And, but other than that, I'm just so busy making stuff that I'm not consuming as much as I would like. So I love hearing all your recommendations. I'm definitely going to check some of these out.
Well, when I was at the comic book store, I picked up a gift for Rebecca.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. Oh, baby. My queen.
There it is. The dramatic debut of Dazzler.
She's so beautiful.
So I picked that up for her. But my wife went to L.A. to visit her brother this past week. And I was out there a few months ago, and I did the solo trip to Disneyland that we documented here. And I got the lightsaber from the saber shop, right? You know, the whole ceremony, which I had to be talked into. Because it sounded so corny.
But then, Carrie, I don't know why.
After I did it, I was glad I did it. You know, it's expensive as hell, but I'm glad I did it. But I left my saber down there, and Sue brought it back for me.
Ooh.
So this is the saber that I built in Savi's lightsaber shop. And I'm very happy with it. Oh. There you can see.
And now for 5 minutes of Carrie playing with the lights.
How am I going to do it? It's in the after party.
Call the coordinator.
But it's terrific because you do build it yourself. They give you options of, you know, what color of crystal. There's a whole story in the thing. You know, depending on your personal beliefs, what direction will you follow? You know, and then they bring out the parts and let you pick individual parts for the saber. I don't know how this damn thing works, because when they showed me the hilt on the inside, it was hollow. So I don't know how this, I'm afraid to open it up.
There's an RFID chip in the crystal.
Oh.
that's what makes it be the color.
But it even has so a...
There is a kyber crystal in it. Like, you were able to... Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they have a tray of crystals that they bring out and they say, well, you know, which one are you going to be?
If you're going, here's what you do. In the shop, before you go in, because you can buy all of the individual kyber crystals, buy a different... They only provide, in Savi's workshop, blue, green, red, purple... I think those are the only
and
colors.
And
no yellow.
And blue. Oh, blue. No. So what my husband and I did, we bought a white one and a yellow one, popped them in our pockets, went to Savvy's workshop, did the whole thing. They give you your kyber crystal. We sneaky switched it out for our fun purchased ones. And then at the end, when everybody turns theirs on, ours was white and yellow. And everyone was like, oh, what?
And did the people in the shop react? Did they have a reaction to that?
Yeah. So yeah, like, one of the cast members was like saw what we were doing, and she was like, ah, wink, wink. And like they love it when you do that. Or so I'm told. Just because it's, you know, it's some fun.
But there's a whole ceremony anyway. Derek, if you get a chance, it's terrific. All right. Thanks for coming. To the show. We're going to go to the after party now. Derek, thank you for joining us. It's been a long time.
Thank you.
Yes.
We got to get back in touch on the regs.
Yes, I'm terrible at keeping touch in general, but on the regs.
All right. Join us at the after party now if you want to. Geekshowgotthiscovered.com is the link to our Patreon page. Live long and prosper, bitches.
Happy free comic 4th of May.
May the comics be with you.